What we're doing is going through particular texts in the book of Deuteronomy that are quoted in the New Testament. And we are looking at the context of those particular verses in the book of Deuteronomy, and then seeing how they are quoted in the New Testament and attempting to apply them as they are applied in the New Testament. We've looked at a text in Deuteronomy 18, at least this is a part of what we've done, that spoke of the prophet promised by God who would be raised up by him. That prophet is Jesus Christ. We looked at a text in Deuteronomy chapter 21, 22, and 23, and a comment was made, I heard, when the text was announced, what in the world is he going to do with that one? And at any rate, it had to do with Christ hanging on the cross. It was a parenthetical expression. Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, and we saw how that is applied to Christ in Galatians chapter 3. This morning we come to the end of Deuteronomy 26, and another text we relish hearing. Isn't this the case? Look at it. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And you notice what follows. And all the people said, Amen. I don't hear a lot of amens out here. Well, it seems to be the difficulty. Well, this isn't a real popular text, is it? And we wonder what in the world. The book of Deuteronomy is a book of the covenant. It is a book which the name implies is the second law, Deuteronomy. And the kings of Israel were required to write copies of this book and rehearse the contents of the book before the people of God. And they were to do this frequently. I don't think they did it as they were supposed to, at least as they were directed by God. And this book of the covenant begins by showing us the God of the covenant. And then in the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy, we have a recitation of the Ten Commandments. And following the Ten Commandments, we have this great saying, which Jesus also quotes in the New Testament, or at least it's recorded in the New Testament, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And so the book of Deuteronomy is really a book of the covenant which relates to us how we ought to love the Lord our God. And as that covenant is related to us, all the various stipulations are set forth. And then finally, when we get to Deuteronomy 27 and 28, we have the blessings and the cursings which are given by God. And then at the end of the book of Deuteronomy, there is a wrap-up of the life of Moses. And so we come at the end of the 27th chapter to this summary verse that is given to us. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And it has to do with God's covenant and all the words of God's covenant. Now, God covenanted originally with Abraham. And let's look at that, if you would, please, in Genesis chapter 12. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 12. It says in verses 6 and 7, Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who appeared to him. The Lord appeared to Abraham at Shechem. There's a picture in your bulletin. And if you want to look at that picture, it will help us out a little bit. The picture is a picture of two mountains, and the mountains happen to be Gerizim and Ebal. And at the foot of the mountain, which is on the left-hand side, Mount Gerizim, there is the location of the city of Shechem. This is where God appeared to Abraham. And in the foreground, or in the middle of the picture, actually, there's a number four. At the foot of Mount Gerizim was Jacob's well. This is where Jesus met the woman at the well. And where the woman pointed up to Mount Gerizim and said, we're told that we are to worship God on this mountain. And Jesus responded to her. The road which is in the foreground is a road which leads between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. And if you'd back up a little bit, you'd be on the Jordan River. And if you'd back up a little bit further, you'd be on the other side of the Jordan River, where Moses and the people were gathered when the book of Deuteronomy, or the laws that are recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, were spoken to Moses, or were spoken by Moses to the people. And the people on the plains on the other side of the Jordan River could actually see these two mountains, could see them on the horizon. They're not big mountains. They're not like the Rockies, that's for sure. But they are classified as mountains. And that's what our text is talking about. And the city of Shechem is there. This is where God made covenant with Abraham. And God commanded renewal of the covenant. Let's go back to Deuteronomy again. And this time to the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy. Chapter 11 and verses 29 through 32. Here God says to the people of Israel, they are to come to this location and renew their covenant with God. It shall come about, at verse 29 in Deuteronomy 11, it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land where you are entering to possess it, that you shall place the blessing on Mount Gerizim and the curse on Mount Ebal. Are they not across the Jordan, west of the way toward the sunset? And in the picture, you're looking west toward the sunset. And Moses would be pointing across the Jordan to this location. Are they not across the Jordan, west of the way toward the sunset in the land of the Canaanites who live in the Arabah opposite Gilgal beside the oaks of Moreh? For you are about to cross the Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And you shall possess it and live in it. And you shall be careful to do all the statutes and the judgments which I am setting before you. So Moses gives this direction to the people. And this is exactly what the people did. And we see the record of what took place at this location in the picture. We have the record of that in Joshua. So let's go to Joshua now. In Joshua chapter 8, please. Joshua chapter 8 and verses 30 through 35. Now this is after the entrance into the promised land. And the people now are gathered in this little valley between Gerizim and Ebal. And Joshua, it says in verse 30, built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel. As it is written in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of uncut stones, on which no man had wielded an iron tool. And they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written in the presence of the sons of Israel. And all Israel, with their elders and officers and their judges, were standing on both sides of the ark before the Levitical priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord. The stranger as well as the native. Half of them stood in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them stood in front of Mount Ebal. Just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given command at first to bless the people of Israel. And so you can see in that picture where they were. And the people gathered in that little valley and around those mountains. And some of the Levites on Mount Gerizim and some of the Levites on Mount Ebal and the Ark of the Covenant there in between. And the people gathered and the law of God was read. And then the people, when the law of God was read, said, Amen. Amen. And that's part of where the custom comes from in response to the Word of God. Verse 34 says, Then afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessing and the curse, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers who were living among them. And there they were gathered to hear the reading of the Word of God and to give assent to the covenant which God was laying before them. And it must have been a tremendous scene. A tremendous scene at Mount Gerizim and at Mount Ebal. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy 27 now. Because this same location is mentioned in Deuteronomy 27. Look at verse 11 and following. We have a flashback here now. Moses also charged the people on that day, saying, When you cross the Jordan, you shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. For the curse, these shall stand on Mount Ebal, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And so it was. And then we have a recitation of those words of curse that are given. And then there's a recitation of the words of blessing that are given. And the people responded. It was a responsive kind of ceremony. And they did say Amen. And the summary statement at the end of verse 26 at the end of chapter 27 is just that, a summary statement. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. Now, at first blush, those words may seem harsh. Think about it for a moment, though. Faith without works is dead. It's the same principle. And without that faith, which is exemplified in living for Jesus Christ, we are lost. That's what this text is telling us. And it's a very profound thing, I think, that text is telling us. That we must live for God and we must live for Jesus Christ. We must trust Almighty God and live for Him or we're lost. That's the essence of it. That's what is being said to us in this particular text. And not only so, what else is being said to us is that all that God says is expected in our lives. It is expected to come to fruition in our lives. I don't know about you, but I am really tired. And this is the case. And I guess I shouldn't emphasize this too much because you say, you're getting on this horse again, Denny. But I'm really tired of the fact that so many people make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and then live like the devil. I am really tired of that. And I am tired of that
in evangelical, Bible-believing churches. I sat this week in the office of the Dean of Students at Sterling College. And you know what we talked about? Well, I'll tell you one of the things we talked about. I won't tell you all that we talked about. But one of the things that she expressed was dismay at the fact of so many broken homes in our society. And further dismay at the fact that the statistics for divorce are little different in evangelical Bible-believing churches than in the world. Little different. I think that is really sad. Especially when you consider that marriage is to be a picture before a watching world of the love which God has for His people. What this text in Deuteronomy 27 verse 26 is talking about is that sort of thing, it seems to me. And we need to understand that this is the case. And so I say also in our outline that God requires total obedience. That's His requirement. That's not my requirement. That's not the requirement of the Reformed Presbyterian Church or the church that you happen to be a member of. That's the requirement of God. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And the implication is all the words of this law. That's the clear implication. Turn with me to the New Testament, if you would, please, to James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verses 8 through 11. James 2, 8 through 11. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. You do see that, do you not? Now, at the risk of being too political, I'll be chastised later for this, but that's all right. I'll take it. I've got wide shoulders. At the risk of being too political, a man that has an inappropriate relationship in his office, which is the highest office of the land, and then defends himself by saying it's only about sex, is a violator of the whole law of God. That's what James is saying. That if he violates in one part, he is a violator of all. And if he stands before a judge and lies and says it's just about sex, that lie makes him a violator of all the law. That's what James says. And look at Deuteronomy once again. You see, this is what the biblical ethic gets at. This is what the biblical way gets to. Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, which includes you shall not commit adultery, which includes you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
Now, that's what the Old Testament says. And that's in part how the New Testament interprets what we're talking about. Please turn now to the quotation of Deuteronomy 27:26 in the New Testament, which is Galatians 3. And this is what is so tremendous as far as I'm concerned, that the Apostle Paul quotes these very difficult texts, seemingly, in the New Testament with regard to the gospel and with regard to Christ and with regard to the work of our Savior. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that that's the case. Look at Galatians 3:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. See, there's our quote. And it is a proof text. It is a proof text for the concept that has to do with salvation by works. If you are of the works of the law, Paul says, you are under a curse. Now, what do we mean by the works of the law? That you hope to get to heaven by being a nice person. After all, I'm a nice guy. There's no reason that God shouldn't let me into heaven, right? Wouldn't you agree with that? Well, not everyone is in agreement with that. And Paul is saying in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Why? Because the Bible says, the Scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. See, that's the point. And so, what we are saying is that outside of Christ, outside of faith in Jesus Christ, outside of our trusting in the work of Jesus Christ, we are doomed. And I'm including myself in that. That is the case. That is what the Old Testament says, and that is what the New Testament says. Read it again. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the Son of God who lived a perfect life, who died on Calvary's cross to bear the penalty due to people like you and me for sins. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Think about Him. Think about Him in His temptations. Those of you who were with us remember that we reviewed the temptations of Christ and how Christ responded to each one of the temptations with Scripture. With Scripture coming from the book of Deuteronomy. And when the devil said to Jesus, you see those stones? You're hungry, aren't you? Why don't you turn those stones into loaves of bread? You can do that. You're the Son of God. Jesus quoted a text from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Man shall not live by bread alone, he said. And he not only fought the devil with the word of God, but he fulfilled the covenant responsibilities that he had to walk by that word of God. And he lived by the word of God. And when the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, "Cast yourself down, for it is written," the devil knows the Bible too, "for it is written, the angels shall bear you up so you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered the devil with another verse from Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and he said, "You shall not tempt the Lord your God." And Jesus not only responded by quoting Deuteronomy, he lived it. And he fulfilled it. He did that word of God. And when the devil came to him and took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "Bow down and worship me, and I'll give it all. I'll give you everything. I'll give it all to you." Jesus quoted another verse from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy that comes right after those wonderful words, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength." And Jesus said, "I love my Father, and I'll not bow down and worship you, devil. My Father says, you shall worship God alone, and that's where I'm going to stand." And he did so. Don't you thank God for that? Don't you thank God for what Jesus did? Because I'll tell you, folks, I can't do it. I'm not there. Are you? So, according to what the Bible says, you may think you can work your way to heaven. Not so. Not so. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. I need Jesus Christ. And you need Jesus Christ, the King and Lord of all. A bunch of years ago, I was visiting a fellow in Kansas who is a bachelor, and he was at work, and I was doing a series of meetings, and I was visiting with him, and so during the day, I was doing some studying. And I got a hold of a tape by Steve Green with a song on it called "People Need the Lord." And I listened to that tape and I wept, because I knew I needed this Jesus. And there was no way that I could work my way to heaven myself. And I was one of those people who needed the Lord. And you're one of those people too. Isn't that the case? And maybe you're one of those folks who thinks to yourself, "Oh, I'm not that bad. Little errors won't keep me out of heaven." And what does the text say again? "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them." I haven't done it. Jesus has. And I'm so glad that that's the case. And I'm so glad that by the power of the Holy Spirit there is in my heart a faith that embraces this Jesus. And this Jesus stands and he says, come to me, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I remember when I first experienced that rest. And I thank God for that rest as it comes again and again and again through Christ. Trust Jesus. Trust Christ, the King who did it all. And dear friends, don't trust yourself to get you to heaven, because it won't work. Trust this Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you for all that Old Testament background and what Jesus did and how it comes home to us this morning. Thank you for each person here, for each family. And thank you, Father, that as we have the privilege of being before you, there is blessing that awaits us more and more in Jesus Christ, the Savior and the King. Thank you that that's the case. Hear us. In His name we pray. Amen.